Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Creating Change. And this is your host, Doug Foresta. Thanks so much for joining me today. And I have Allegra Sinclair with me. And we're going to be talking about how to remove toxic people from your life so that you can free up your energy. And, you know, I can't imagine that any, you know, that it, you're listening to this right now, that you've never experienced, you know, meeting someone who's a toxic person. And so we are going to talk about, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, how that affects your energy. And Allegra is someone that I've known for some time, so I'm really excited to have her on the show. And so let me go ahead and I'll introduce her and bring her right on. Allegra is a natural born communicator who's been a chief encouragement officer all her life. Like many people, she had to learn through adversity who she really was and how she wanted to show up in the world as a result of that knowledge. As a professional communicator, trainer, and coach, she offers self-study courses, public training, and private coaching on confidence, communications, and bravery. Allegra worked in corporate communications for over 17 years across several industries, including high-tech, consumer products, and healthcare. Her experiences at companies including General Mills, Intel, and the Mayo Clinic have helped shape her unique perspective on change, chaos, and communications. She has served on boards for the Twin Cities Community Gospel Course and Women Venture, and currently volunteers with Dress for Success and other charitable organizations devoted to empowering women. Allegra Sinclair, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you. So, yeah, let's talk about, I mean, actually, before I even talk about, you know, why removing toxic people from your life will make you less lonely and free up your energy. Can you say a little bit about what do you mean by toxic people?
Well, if I boil it down to one sentence, I would say, remember the old science adage that if it's not negative, it's positive, and vice versa, that there really is no neutral.
Yes.
I think the same applies to relationships. So if you are around someone routinely who subtracts from who you are, that person is toxic.
That's a very good definition. So maybe just talk about a little bit too. I know that, you know, you've worked with lots of people. And so, you know, why do people, this is one of those things that, you know, I certainly can think of people that I know in my own life like this. Why do people stay? And God knows, I mean, it's not like, you know, I can think of, especially in my 20s, you know, being in relationships certainly that were toxic for me and eventually, you know, finding my way out of them. But, you know, why do you think that we stay in these relationships that can be damaging?
It's funny because we're talking about, remember doing it when you were in your 20s, and I'm like, oh, that long ago. So I think it's great that your last experience was suddenly recognizing that was, you know, a whole year ago. But I think we learn behaviors when we're very young that, and it's not like someone necessarily sits down and tells you that you have to stay in situations that you don't want to be in, but it's the psychology of how we're raised in starting in grade school tells us that it's important to belong. It's important for other people to accept you, acknowledge you, affirm you. So if you're already thinking to yourself that it's important that these people who are external to me, who might not even matter in the long term, but we don't necessarily always get that part of the lesson. So if I believe that these people accepting me is more important than me accepting me, then I stay in situations that perhaps don't serve me. Or, and this one's a little bit more, I say all the time, this one gives me pause. If I've been in a situation that's toxic long enough, I might not be able to recognize that it's toxic. Because I've been there so long, that's what feels normal to me.
It's like the guy who says to the goldfish, how's the water? And the goldfish says, compared to what?
Exactly, right? So if you don't know anything different, or if you knew at one time, but you've developed habits that helped you deal with the toxic person, so now you don't recognize it anymore. It's kind of like I call it this emotional anesthetic. We're amazing the way we are designed, right? Physically, we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and emotionally, we deal with things that we never think we could deal with. So we develop habits that protect us a little bit from the toxic person. So we stay there because we think, oh, it's not that bad, or I can handle it, or depends on who the toxic person is. There's a myriad of reasons why you're staying in that situation.
I think that's a very good point. And and that is definitely something as well, where you said, you know, you just become used to it, and you can, mm-hmm. you know, on one level, it's an adaptive function that, you know, we're able to tolerate something so that we can survive it. But then we end up tolerating it. We end up tolerating it so much so that, like you said, that we don't even, you know, one of the things looking at my show notes, you know, you talked about how, you know, that pain can actually become so familiar that it feels good. I'm wondering if you could say more about that. I thought that was really interesting.
Isn't that kind of frightening? So, so in the last year or so, several of my friends have reached this point where we're like, wow, we're really only going to get this one body. We might want to take a little bit better care of it. So yeah. We decided that we wanted to work out, you know, not make huge sweeping changes that wouldn't last, but, you know, make small iterative changes to be healthier. And one of the young ladies picked an activity because it was like a hot activity, like ride a bicycle and people make you do crazy things in the gym, spinning. Yeah, I haven't touched that, but I've heard about it. I've seen it on TV. But when she spins, it causes her physical pain. So I'm thinking, she'll stop.
Yeah.
But to her, because to her, she now equates, okay, if I'm doing things that don't hurt, then maybe I'm not really accomplishing anything. Maybe I'm not really changing. Maybe this pain is required for results. So for her now, she's getting something from that pain. So I equate that to it feels good to her.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually, and again, I think it's one of those things where I'm always amazed. I think it's very adaptive in a way. Like it helps us survive, but then it becomes a real problem because, right, if pain feels good, then we stay in
right.
it.
And if you think that the absence of pain would be nothing and you really want to feel, then yeah. you'll take pain over nothing, right?
And you'll take pain over nothing, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could say a bit, too, about how can we even recognize what a, you know, you said a little bit about defining a toxic person, but how can we recognize, you know, toxic people in our life?
So I have several rulers that I'll use, but the first one, and I can't claim to have come upon this most of my knowledge. It's not like I woke up one day and I was like, oh, wow. You know, you kind of gather it through life. But my grandmother was 96 when she passed, and she has been telling me since I can remember her that you have to listen to people when they tell you who they are. So one way that you can recognize toxic people is, let's pretend it's a romantic relationship. So you're in a new romantic relationship and the person says to you, oh, I'm awful. I've always treated my significant others poorly. You should believe that. That's
right.
Not what we always do in that situation. Sometimes we think, oh, it must
right.
have been the other person, or, oh, but if I love hard enough, I can change.
Right, right. Love can change it all. Yes, exactly.
Right. There are a lot of songs that we sing that make
yes.
us think that even though this person's telling me that he was awful before, that doesn't have to be my life experience. So that's one.
Right.
You can recognize toxic people by listening when people tell you who they are. Another thing you can do is ask yourself, how do you feel when you're around them? Do you behave differently when you're with them than you do when you're with others? Do you look forward to being with them with that kind of that healthy anticipation? Do you look forward, or does thinking about being with them fill you with dread, but you are just compelled to move towards that anyway? I think a big part of all of our work, I think, around removing obstacles to being just plain fabulous really requires blocking out some noise and listening. So listen to yourself, listen to how you feel, pay attention to how you feel when you're around that person. Do you have a lot in common with them? one trigger or clue for me is if I have absolutely nothing in common with that person, then I start to ask myself, well, what is it that we're doing when we're together?
Right.
And then how do I feel about that activity, right? But one of the ones I use often, and this is probably going to sound a little bit odd, but how do they behave with other people, and especially with people who are less powerful? So I remember at one time, I can't remember, it might have been a blind date, but I remember going out to dinner with someone, and he was lovely to me. I mean, what opened the door? He was really lovely, but he was horrible to the people at the restaurant.
Right.
He was demeaning. He was just this side of rude to every person who was only there to serve us. And it made me physically uncomfortable. And I was like, okay, so he's only nice to people who he thinks he should be. So if you just are kind of more present and pay attention to how this person behaves and how others respond to that person, you can start to pick up some clues that this person might not be as positive as you would like.
It's a good point, because a lot of times I hear people say, man, I had no idea. And what I hear you saying is, like, you know, if we really keep our eyes open, we there are signs, there are clues for the most part, unless someone is a really, truly a complete sociopath who's, you know, that good at hiding it. Most people will tell you who they are by their actions and by their words. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very good point.
Absolutely.
And then I know you also have a 3-step plan, right, for standing up for yourself.
Well, it's what I call my independence from toxic people. So yes, there's three real steps and then a bonus. So step number one is deciding that you would rather not spend time with toxic people. And I know that sounds so simple, but change, you know this, change takes time. And there's always a cost, not necessarily a financial cost, but there's a cost in time, a cost in building new habits, there's a cost in discipline. I mean, all change requires something from us. So I think we are very quick to say, and I don't do New Year's resolutions for this reason, we're very quick to say, oh, I'm going to do X, or I'm not going to do X. Maybe I'm saying that because it's popular, and I haven't really decided that I want to make that change. So the first step in getting independence from toxic people is deciding that you really want that change. And then step number two is standing up for yourself. Now, this obviously can take different forms depending on who the person is, right? Because we talked about kind of how you recognize toxic people by characteristics and traits, but let's be real, sometimes a toxic person is related to you.
Right.
They might live in your home. They might work next to you all day long, or their office is right across the way. So
it could be your boss, right? You can't always walk in and go, listen, I'm gonna need you to leave, right?
Wouldn't that be wonderful someday? But stand up for yourself. So if I make a decision, so let's pretend that the toxic person is my boss. So and I'm not in a position to just walk in and say, hey, you know, the way you treat me really doesn't work for me. So I'm bye bye. So if I'm not in a position to do that. But if I decide for myself, you know what, I'm going to stand up for myself, and then I figure out what ways I can do that, that I'm comfortable with, it changes my energy. I love how you said that one more time. It changes your energy. So you move from a victim who this toxic person is just kind of visiting themselves upon to a more powerful person who's making decisions about how they interact or how they respond to different situations. So a really easy thing to do is start telling the other person how their comments made you feel. Now, the magic in this is it doesn't matter how they respond. I still experience the joy of that energy shift by saying it. So even if I tell someone, hey, you know, every time you tell me that I don't look quite so fat in those pants, it makes me feel bad, because underlying that is that I then look like super fat in other stuff.
Right.
Right. So So if I say to someone, every time you tell me this, it makes me feel this way, and they say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, okay. If they say, oh, I was just kidding, okay. See, how they respond is not my responsibility.
Right.
My responsibility ends right where the words left my mouth, because that was what I was feeling confident and powerful in, and that's what I could control. So if you start standing up for yourself, you will also be able to move down that path toward being independent. So you can tell others how you feel. You can decide what you'll do in advance of being in that situation. That's another great tool. So if this happens, I'm going to do this. That feels good too, because then when it happens, you don't have to think in the moment, right? In that, when the headlights splash in your face, you don't have to think, oh, headlights, what do I do? Because see, you already thought about it in advance.
Right. And then the empowerment is that, you know, you've spoken your truth and you're going to stay in it no matter, you know, the other person. Oh, don't be so sensitive, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, all the garbage that.
Right. I love that. And I saw something, I can't remember where I saw it. I think it was on Pinterest the other day, but someone said, no is a complete sentence.
Yeah, that's right.
I love what you said. It's like you spoke your truth and then you stood in it. I don't have to explain it, right? I don't have to say it in three other different ways. Once I have said whatever I wanted to say, I am kind of done. So
yeah.
If it feels like it's too big, for instance, to change how you might respond in the situation or spend less time with the person, then don't put the pressure on yourself of like making broad sweeping changes. So instead of saying, okay, this person, I've decided that person is toxic. I'm never going to spend time with them again because maybe that's not possible.
Right.
But
like you said,
say,
maybe you're related to them.
Hello, or hello, they live in your house. But
yeah. Right, right.
What if you said, I'm going to experience this person in this situation for only 10 minutes instead of 30? Right. So you break it into bite-sized chunks.
Right.
Okay, so I can't do it never again, but maybe I can not do it on Sundays. Or only do it for an hour, those types of things. And then the third step in the plan for independence from the toxic people is to intentionally make space in your life for good people. So if all of your time and energies are spent with people who, not bad people, not a judgment, just the way we interact with one another doesn't make me feel great about myself, how much space do I have for new people? Not a lot, right? So I don't have space for them, and I also don't have the right energy for them. Because if I'm coming to their space and I'm all beat up and bruised and singed from being around the toxic people, I'm taking that with me around these people who didn't create that situation. So when you think about what you want to do to remove toxic people, there is another very active thing you can do, and that's decide to make space for good people.
Mm.
Right? So if I decide, like we were saying, if we decide a year ago, hey, we want to be more active, well, my life right now is full, isn't everyone's, so I'm going to have to figure out, where am I going to carve out space to do these activities that will be more healthy? Because we all have the same amount of time.
Yeah.
So if I say, hey, it needs 30 minutes 5 days a week, I have to actively make a decision to make space in my life for that 30 minutes. And you also have to make space in your life for good people to come in and stay.
I think, you know, and that actually brings me to something that I see a lot of, which is one of the reasons, too, I think it's hard to free yourself up is to have that trust that people say, well, if I get rid of all the toxic people in my life and everybody in my life is toxic. Right? Well, where does that leave me? Now what do I do?
I love that. I just love how you phrase things. yes, you're right. So if I throw out all of the bad food in my refrigerator, what am I going to eat?
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's all I had was the Chinese food from last week. That's all I had
exactly,
to eat.
Exactly. And there's a finite amount of money. So now what?
Mm-hmm.
I think I talk a lot in when I'm talking about confidence, about that small inner voice, right? So there's a small positive voice that we all have, and there's a small negative voice that we all have. And I call the negative one my inner confidence assassin, because what she has to say usually does not build. What she does is cast doubt on what I want, think, can accomplish, all that good stuff. So one of the things I think when you are trying to figure out, okay, so who will I hang out with now if I remove the toxic people? I think you get to actively choose who to hang around with. So if the toxic people are in your life because of where you lived or worked or whatever, but you can actually choose for yourself carefully, that's fantastic. So then you look for people who have like values, like interests, like behaviors, like conversation. So part of the work when you were figuring out who the toxic people were was figuring out what you would prefer. So actively seek those people out. So if you continue to go to the places that you have always gone, where you know the preponderance of people are negative, that is what you will continue to find. But if you try a new thing, go a new place, you will find new and different things. And they don't always have to cost, right? So go to a library. Do they still have real life ones? Go to a bookstore.
No, they still have libraries. The bookstores, I think, are going out of business, but yeah.
Right. But think, if you remove yourself as much from toxic people, and remember, again, part of that was being more aware of how people behave. So once, it's kind of like if you think, I'm going to buy a new car, and I'm thinking I want a blue Volkswagen, but every other car you see is a blue Volkswagen. So if you think to yourself, I want to find people who like to sing, suddenly every other person you meet is going to like to sing. Because you draw to you what you think about, right? Have you found that to be true?
Absolutely.
So if you think, I want people who want to volunteer with the elderly, if you go someplace where elderly people are, you're going to find people there who like hanging out with them. So if you look for people who possess the values that you want, and then you do some of the things they do, you will naturally fill your time with people who are more like you. Pay attention to where they're hanging out. But I think the other gift of removing toxic people is, if I'm around toxic people less, I like me more.
Yeah.
Which means I'm always in good company.
Right.
So I can be in a room of 300 people and feel incredibly lonely. And I can be alone and feel great. Yeah. So it is not about the numbers, it's about how you are responding to your environment. So when you silence your inner confidence assassin or you remove yourself from toxic people, you'll naturally be more content, and then you're going to draw different people to you.
And I know that you have a special offer for our listeners, right? A free gift for our listeners?
I do.
Can you just share how people can get that?
Absolutely. If you go to AllegraSinclair.com/Doug, F as in Foresta. So again, that's Allegra, AllegraA, S as in Sam, INCLAIR.com/Doug, F, and you will find a lovely gift just for your listeners.
I really appreciate that. And also, please let people know how they can connect with you and how you work with people.
Oh, sure. Gosh, there are so many ways.
yeah.
I am always all over Twitter, at Allegra Sinclair. I'm amazingly creative, but I do keep things simple. So on Twitter, you can find me at Allegra Sinclair. And on Facebook, you can find me at Allegra Sinclair. And if you want to go to my website, check out other blog postings, maybe grab a couple affirmations on toxic people. You can find those at AllegraSinclair.com.
That's great. Allegra, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing on a really important topic. I believe a lot this will resonate for, I think it's really hard to be a human being and go through life and not pick up some toxic people along the way somewhere. So I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your words of wisdom with us.
My pleasure. It was a delightful time of my day. I'd just like to say until talk to you all afternoon.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Same here.
You're welcome.
So thanks to everyone again for listening. And join us next week on another episode of Creating Change. Remember, until next time, keep creating. The world needs your gifts. This is Doug Foresta.